Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. It's back on the agriblogging highway this week as I get ready to head to the National Sunflower Association Summer Seminar. That's going to take place in Deadwood, South Dakota, and we are going to be talking social media, new marketing tools for agribusiness. Looking forward to it. And then I head straight from there on to Iowa, where I will be working with the Iowa Corn Growers, and we'll be going Indy this week at the Iowa Corn Indy 250. I've made all but one of these races, and instead of being a day race on Sunday this year, it's going to be a night race on Saturday. So that's going to be interesting because racing under the lights is actually pretty exciting. Speaking of corn growers, in this week's program, we are going to learn about some new ways that corn is being used. I spoke with Lane Segerstrom, who is the founder of Corn Board Manufacturing. They are doing some fascinating things by using a corn stover to make basically a wood-like product. We're going to learn all about it here in my conversation. Lane, if you would, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we'll get into corn board manufacturing and how you got into this.
Well, how I got into this started when I grew up on a farm in Ivy Grove, Iowa, and my father was a farmer, his father, and his father, and his father. So we have a century farm up there in Iowa. We actually got two farms. So I grew up around the whole agricultural side of things. And so I knew the ag side of things. And then after I went off to college in Texas at Baylor University, I got really exposed to a lot of entrepreneurial type things. And I invented my first product, which was a CD poster that hangs on the wall around 2000. And so I really started inventing some different things, did some software later, won the best invention on the Montel show for the first invention I invented. Then I later went on to do some software. And anyhow, in doing that, I started to learn a lot about patents and technology. And the University of Illinois had some technology, and obviously we coined it corn board. But I had the opportunity to license that from them. And having the agricultural background, I really saw it as being a huge opportunity to create jobs in rural America, create a product that's green, environmentally friendly, something that is good for the farmer, good for the consumer, and create a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunity in America. So that was kind of a win across the board. And with my background of inventing and understanding some of the patent type things and taking a product to marketplace, and then also growing up on a farm. So that's kind of the short part of it.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about this product that you've got and the company.
Well, we Corn Board Manufacturing Inc. is a Texas company, and we have a couple different facilities that we're testing at, and right now currently are going to have our first facility in the panhandle of Texas, which they have a remarkable amount of corn they grow up there in the panhandle. So what we're basically doing is taking the stover left in the field, we bale it up in round bales, and then we pull out the husk and the leaves, and we use some of the technology that you would have in pressed wood under heat and pressure. We mix it in a resin, and non-formaldehyde resin, and then we press it into a board that can be used in obviously thousands of different products, from skateboards to pallets to furniture to cabinets. So we started out with a couple of unique things. We started out with a skateboard because we felt if we could put it in a skateboard, people could ride it, then people would look at that and say, wow, that's pretty strong. If you can do that, then it must make a pretty good chair. And so that's what we put it in, and then we went out, set a Guinness World Record for the fastest speed on a towed skateboard, just to kind of send it home as it, we're not afraid to stand on our product.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that's a good way of putting it, since it's a skateboard, and also shows that it's a high performance board too.
Exactly. We kind of stole from the bulletproof vest. If Kevlar is strong enough to stop a bullet, and if you put it in rope, it must be pretty strong. So we thought we'd kind of take that model and go with that. And then we just recently produced a prototype pallet that is like a leaf type pallet. So it's a heavier duty built pallet that lasts a longer time. And we're going through the biopreferred labeling right now process, which should be completed sometime this week, which will be the first pallet that's bio-label approved. And just another neat thing for people to start converting to, companies can convert with no additional cost that are currently using a lease-type pallet. 1 million acres of forest get cut down just to make pallets. Mm-hmm. So it's a big domino effect of what we can do to start to reduce the strain on resources that we can convert to renewable resources.
Well, I think that's a good place to go next, and that's talking about the environment, the potential impact of as you were to grow with this company and these types of products, and you know, getting that USDA BioPreferred label approval, I think would be probably a nice step in that. But this then essentially can offer a customer, like a company that like in this case with pallets, or it could be other types of building materials or what have you, some options for improving their own environmental impact then.
Exactly. I mean, it can create so many different reductions across the board for a company, for the employees, you know, keeping jobs by us, you know, contracting, you know, our product sales through different channels. So it is a benefit across the board in terms of resources, and it makes other resources even, you know, more available to other people to build stuff if we can reduce the use of a good, you know, say hardwoods, and we're not putting them into pallets. We're doing that opens the door for them to be put into other products without, you know, having to cut down additional forest.
Mm-hmm. So how would you describe where you're at right now? I mean, if I want to have something built out of cornboard, are you taking orders? Are you in production? You know, how would you describe where you're at and what's available right now?
Well, right now we're in what I call low production, and we're still testing for additional products where we're in the process of scaling to some pretty good production levels. We're actually looking at potentially putting multiple plants on the ground in the next 6 to 8 months. We have chose to put our product in what I would call controlled environment, where we control the production of the board, and we can make sure that the quality is what it is. So when people hear and see corn board, they have a real positive attitude toward it. Kind of what we didn't want to do was put a raw good out there. And for instance, let's say cabinets, and somebody wants to promote a green product, they put short screws in it, and somebody buys it because it's green, they put it in their garage, and they've got all their friends over there, and all of a sudden the cabinet door falls off. They don't say, hey, that's a short screw. They say, boy, that cornboard's a piece of junk. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted our first impression to consumers, obviously through the skateboards, to be really positive. So right now, our limited production is going into specialty products that we are controlling what those products are. And then as we expand, we'll go into more markets and cabinets and outdoor furniture and eventually building materials. But, you know, we all understand that, you know, the codes you have to get in building materials takes time. And while we're building those processes out, we can be selling other goods to consumers.
Right. How about as far as, you know, whether it's the products that you right now are producing or intend to, how is this going to compare in terms of pricing competitiveness with alternatives out there?
Well, our goal is to maybe kind of redefine the supply chain in how we take a raw good and put it into the consumer's hand. And really, a lot of it's re-looking at how we can get it to the consumer, all things equal. I think some of the statistics say 87% of consumers will buy green, all things equal. So really, our challenge is how do we make it equal? How do we get a product to the consumer, all things equal? And so we're going to have to probably produce that good ourselves and not run it through all the different supply chains and the distribution and the travel and the fuel costs. So if we can take a plant in Stratford, Texas, and make a cabinet right there, put it on a train, send it to a distribution center that goes directly into a retailer to a consumer, we can cut enough of the middle out that our product can be the same price or better. So that's how we're looking at going into the marketplace, is in being a competitive product, same quality, same design or better, and same price or better. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we're having initially some slow growth and some slow, or going into smaller products or more niche products. So when we grow big and at scale, we can compete with the larger type of distribution channels of furniture, cabinets, you know, office furniture, and ultimately building materials.
How about on the farmer side of this? You know, the corn has to get grown, and you got to have the stover left over to collect and use. Are you working, like, contracting with individual growers for supply? Are you going through cooperative arrangements? How are you managing that part side of it?
Well, right now we're dealing with individual farmers. Some of the farmers that we're dealing with will farm 20 sections of land up in the panhandle. So one farmer doing a deal with him covers a pretty high amount. But, you know, we're looking just to pull off just a small amount, 20% of the stover, so they can still be able to till that in, utilize it for, you know, soil erosion or even some of the fertilizer value that's there. So we really just want to pull off that little extra that may start to build up. It's a benefit to the farmer. We pay the farmer, and we either subcontract the collection of it, baling it up, or we'll do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the farmer can focus on what they do, and that's grow corn and harvest it.
Yeah. I noticed on your website another application that I just want to make sure we mention in here is alternative fuel. Being able to use this biomass, is that something that you're intending to produce a product for that application?
Right now we're kind of some R&D on that. We haven't made a final determination, but obviously when we collect the stover, we're getting corn cob with it. The corn cob has a BTU value that is similar to some of the woods out there. So we know that that product can be eventually converted into either a fuel pellet or potentially even, you know, burned to turn energy. So we're still kind of discovering what's the best route or lowest hanging fruit to take that product, which is our byproduct.
Yeah. Well, what's the next step then? I mean, where do you go from where you're at now, and what's your vision, at least of the near term outlook for what you're doing?
Well, right now, obviously, we launched the skateboard brand called Stalk It, which will eventually make snowboards, and it's a real kind of a marketing wow. People see it. That's up and running. We are in conversation with multiple companies right now to convert over to cornboard pallets, and so really that's our production is going to go toward that as we grow here initially, is to make these pallets and replace those pallets that are currently being used by a company that uses the lease model. Mm-hmm. So that's really kind of on the forefront right now, because we have a feeling that these companies have such initiatives to go green that this is such an easy way for them to just flip a switch and start taking our pallets versus a pallet that's made 100% of wood.
All right. What else would you like people to know about cornboard manufacturing that we haven't touched on?
Well, the model that we have is not like the wood industry, which is massive facilities that are huge. What we're looking at is what I'd call a subway model. And what this can do in rural America, in small towns, there's not a town that's too small that we can't go into and put a facility. So that's really what, you know, I'd want people to know, is that the opportunity is there for jobs in these towns that people are moving out of. And so we think we're going to be a real complement, because not only jobs to make the board, the press board, but to convert it into, and the skilled labor, and there's a lot of craftsmen, a lot of skilled labor in rural America. So we think we're going to be able to keep a lot of jobs in small towns. And I think a lot of business, having grown up on a farm, and the towns that are 10,000 or bigger tend to attract more business than towns of 1,000 or less. And I think that we're going to be ones that would probably be more attracted to a town of 1,000 people or less, and then necessarily 10,000 town population. So that's probably the biggest thing I want people to know, is that our model is that potentially hundreds and hundreds of these plants could be across the Corn Belt, because it's a small model, efficient, and the overhead to run that plant is a lot less, and you don't have to bring the stover as far, which will be less affected by the fuel cost that we see happening with a lot of other manufacturing type facilities. So
great. Well, we certainly think this sounds fascinating, exciting. I mean, we've talked a lot about new uses of corn. You know, that's something, I think it's every 2 years the Corn Utilization Technology Conference comes up, and that's always one of those topics, is what are some of the new ways we're using this this plant that we grow here so abundantly in the United States. So it's great to hear about this, and we'll definitely point people to you, and hopefully maybe that will generate some ideas for some communities who are looking to do local rural community development, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, they can have a facility sitting there empty because somebody moved out, that we can move in and retrofit and, keep jobs there. And that's really exciting to me, because I grew up on a farm in Iowa, small town, and I grew up seeing, jobs and people move out, and it affected everybody. And so to be able to be a contributor to bring that back is really exciting.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Lane, for your time here, and we will stay in touch, or want to stay in touch, as you develop, and keep us updated.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I love your website. You guys are definitely the pioneers of information from the agricultural standpoint to the consumer. I really appreciate what you guys have done.
Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. Since we were talking about making skateboards out of corn, I thought it'd be good to end with some music from Music Alley. This is a song called Skate by Mano Risa. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.